I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. I'm Rick Moore, along with Gloucester City Councilor-at-Large Jennifer Holmgren, who has served long and hard in the city of Gloucester. And, Jen, first of all, welcome back to MSO. I know you've talked with Josh quite a while, so glad to have you back.
Thanks a lot, Rick. I'm really happy to be here and happy to talk with you.
All right. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit first about current events in Gloucester, maybe going into the beginning of the school year, that kind of thing, and then kind of look back on your perspective as a city councilor and what you viewed over your term. So let's get started. First of all, I think the main question I want to ask you about is your view from the city council as to the COVID response in Gloucester, because as a layperson, it seems to me as though the city did very, very well in adhering to our recommendations, except for the closing of restaurants. I think probably economically we did okay.
Yeah, I mean, Gloucester really knows how to stand in solidarity. We are team players. I think even though my family and I don't live on the island, we are an island community, and we know how to stick together in hard times. I am just continually impressed with the teamwork and the support for each other. And the restaurant's closing was so stressful. There were community responses to support restaurant workers. I mean, I saw private citizens raising money, not to mention grants that went out through community development to help restaurants and small businesses during this time, just to help them stay afloat, stay here. So there was absolutely no playbook for COVID, as we all know, and we kind of had to make do with what we had in Gloucester once again. Rose to the occasion like the champions we are.
Yeah, and now there are federal funds coming down to help the restaurants and try to get people back to work, which has been, I guess, the bugaboo in trying to get help back to the restaurants. But overall, and again, you know, in general, it seems to me that we did okay health-wise, too, didn't we? We didn't have terrible numbers.
We didn't have terrible numbers. I feel very strongly that any COVID death was avoidable. I think that from the federal response on down, it could have been better. I wish we had an active pandemic response team from the federal government. That is unfortunately water under the bridge now. Many of my friends lost loved ones, it was a terrifying experience. But overall, again, Gloucester did great, and we're so lucky we could, you know, spend time outside. We have a beautiful place that we call home. We can do recreational activities outside. You know, people took advantage of walking on the boulevard, spending time on the beach, going for hikes in the woods, and we're so incredibly fortunate to live here.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that looking back at the year, you know, opening up now, I think what's nice is people are complaining about the weather now instead of other stuff. So I think that's probably a good sign.
That's true. That is a sign of normal, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah. you know, and one of the things that I read in the paper about controversy, if you will, as it might be, is development. And one of the things that have raised some hackles among some people has been the consolidation of schools, which is necessary. And I want to know what the city council's outlook is on maybe planning, not only for schools, but also other municipal buildings, because, you know, as everybody knows, the infrastructure in Gloucester is an old city in terms of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that are on the council's agenda or have been recently, from your perspective?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but we're really, our budget is lean and mean, as many have said, and we're trying to make do with what we've got. Comparatively, our property taxes are pretty low among communities on the North Shore, and I know that's hard to believe, but I would rather live here and pay Gloucester property taxes than in many other places, but that's a huge revenue stream for us, not only just to keep our city running with paying employees and just, you know, the regular old nuts and bolts of fixing our buildings and ordering new supplies as needed. But we, as you said, we've got to take a look at the long-range planning. And I agree. You know, it was necessary to consolidate the school financially, and just with declining population of younger people, it's very hard to raise a family in Gloucester. Money-wise, it's expensive to live here on the North Shore. The benefits are outstanding, but my big cause has been affordable housing, especially for young families as well as our elderly. But I kind of got off track a little bit there. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I'm listening.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So the mayor for years now has been looking into getting as much federal and state support as possible to shore up and fix up and maybe even replace our sewage treatment plant. I don't know much about that in detail, but I do know it absolutely needs to happen. And beyond development, which I know, I mean, it's been a huge bugaboo. It's been a huge conflict for a number of years here. Our invisible infrastructure, things like pipes, electricity, which I know is not city run, but we really do need to take a look at that from the perspective of climate change. We've worked a lot with the Metropolitan Area Regional Planning Council, MAPC, to try to get some help with that. And most recently, the governor came to visit Gloucester just a little bit earlier this week and announced some aid in terms of making sure the Haskell Dam is fixed. So that's huge. We rely on that for our water supply partially, along with several other reservoirs, which we're fortunate to have, as well as funding for a seawall at Gloucester High School, which has been in the works for quite some time now. So even though we don't have much in the way of liquid assets to play with, we have a very talented team in our city administration, our treasurer, John Dunn, our DPW director, Mike Hale, work in tandem all the time to try to come up with the most creative solutions possible. Our planning director, Greg Catamatori, terrific, with finding funding and leveraging it to the best of our ability to make sure we as a coastal community are as prepared as possible for these crazy 100-year floods, et cetera, that seem to be coming now every every 2 or 3
really?
Years as opposed to every 100.
Really?
Really. Yeah.
Now, as an at-large counselor, Jen, what are some of the common, complaints or comments or queries you get from constituents? And by that I mean this particular year, this time of year now, and I don't want to go back too far, but what are some of the things that people go to an at-large counselor for?
Oh, all kinds of things. People are, they have a lot of interests. They have a lot of complaints. There's a lot of concern about goats on Salt Island. That's a big one.
Oh yeah.
The people who own it are trying to mitigate the poison ivy out there. There's concern about environmental impact the goats might have. I haven't looked into it too deeply yet, but I know that it's coming up at a Conservation Commission meeting, I believe this coming week. But if you're listening, just, you know, double check the agendas on the city website. So the CONCOM is reviewing that, but we've gotten emails about that. We've certainly gotten emails about traffic studies for the new school. There was a traffic study conducted. There's a lot of chatter about that on social media as to whether or not there was one, but there was one, and it's on the Gloucester Public Schools website. So those are the pretty big salient issues. But I'm getting a lot of questions again now about masks, about guidance. I'm at this point relying on the CDC guidance, which I posted on my council Facebook page. People should really be wearing masks indoors. And, frankly, I've been overcautious, this whole time, but I'm very, very concerned about passing, COVID on to the people I care for as a nurse and to any immune compromised people in my family. So I've been wearing masks for Well, most of the time.
Well, you're in a very particularly delicate situation with your employment, of course, and I want to get to that. And maybe this is a good segue. Reading a Times article about you, you've served now. This is your second term. You're not going to run again right now. But let's go back and tell us why you got into it. The Times article mentions Sandy Hook. Can you give me a little more about that?
Sure. Well, unfortunately, in 2012, the Sandy Hook tragedy happened in Connecticut. And at the time, my daughter was just 2 years old. And those six-year-old babies and their teachers, they died in that terrible gun massacre. And I know that shootings happen every single day in the United States. And it was a very privileged, wealthy community where that happened. But I know that these types of things happen in all types of communities everywhere, and I thought the best way for me to do something about it was to advocate for legislators who can help with those sorts of things. So I flung myself into politics headlong. I supported Eileen Duff in her very first run for governor's council. I made phone calls for candidates that I supported. And I joined the Gloucester Democratic City Committee, and I just thought the way for me to help is to help lawmakers who are trying to do the right thing. So that's how I got interested in politics, and I supported local candidates that I cared about as well. And then a few people told me that I should consider running, and I thought, oh, no, I have a kid, and at some point, a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, maybe I should run. But you know what? I'll just try it. I'll try it, and I'll see what happens. And I'm very fortunate that I got elected. And actually, one of the people who told me that I should think about running was Tony Gross, who's now running for councilor at large. Mm-hmm. And that really, that kind of blew me away. He's one of the first people who did. So anecdotally, I don't remember where I heard this, but somebody did research on women who run for office and how many times they need to be asked to run before mm-hmm. they actually do, and it's six, at least six.
Sure.
And women in this country, maybe, I don't know, maybe they don't think that they can, but they can. It's a challenge. It's challenging for women to do many things professionally, but I think that it's important to level the playing field. And in Gloucester, there are a lot of female elected officials, as you know, over the years, and even decades ago, we've had a female state representative. So it's possible to do it, and it's especially possible to do it here, and I will be forever grateful for that.
I think it's very difficult for moms especially. Not even talking about, the glass ceiling and the male-dominated world. I teach professional development to teachers, and I'm always, always in awe of those moms who take time off to rear children or continue their jobs and rear children, and then they go, for higher education or a better job or more work, and they balance. They have all these balls up in the air, and it astounds me, and I'm in awe of that. And one of the things I'm also in awe of, Jen, is your work as a nurse, because I have a special needs son, Down syndrome. He lives in a group home in Gloucester. He goes to day by day, and people in your field of work, they burn out, which I can understand, but it takes a special kind of personality to do that. So I want to thank you for that, because I'm so appreciative of those who are able to do that. But also maybe ask you how you got into that. What was your drawing to that field in nursing in particular?
Thank you, Rick. That's a very good question. I was 17 years old, and at the time I was living with my aunt, and she said, you might want to try being a CNA. It'll pay well. You'll learn a lot, and it's a good entry into a career. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll give it a try. So I went and I applied for a job at Seacoast, and I got the job, and I spent 3 years working as a per diem CNA. I worked through my senior year of high school there, I worked through college. I learned a lot. I loved my team. I got to know some pretty amazing people. And, you know, it was a really nice way to supplement my income as I was going through school. And at the time I was at Syracuse getting a bachelor's in communications, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home. I didn't want to go to New York or Los Angeles. I love Gloucester too
right.
much
mm-hmm.
to do that. And so I was a home health aide for North Shore PRN, which was a terrific agency that now is part of Leahy Home Health. But at one point I was taking care of this woman who was choking on her bed, and I sat her up and she stopped choking, and I was like, oh my God, I think I need to go be a nurse.
Wow.
So I went to nursing school, and it was wonderful. And I actually, I met my husband while I was working at Addison Gilbert Hospital, and he visited his mother every single day. God bless him. It's led to all kinds of amazing things. And to be a nurse or to be a healthcare worker, I mean, there is a lot of flexibility. The pay is good. It's reliable. To be one of the foot soldiers, to be a CNA, and also, you know, a secretary, on a unit, and just to really learn, exactly what the work is, to get into the really messy stuff, mm-hmm. that's really important, because you learn a lot about yourself, and you learn a lot about being on a team.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy it.
My stepdaughter took a similar path. She is now a school nurse up in Rockport. And I got to tell you, and I every chance I get to talk to a nurse, I have to say this. I've had many helpful days with nurses over the last 2 or 3, 4, 5 years. I've had various and sundry ailments that are all okay. I'm fine. I'm healthy. But some of them were pretty scary. And what's amazing to me, Jen, to a person, and I've had a lot of nurses' visits, I'll tell you, or you know, in the hospital and so on, to a person. The care, the caring, the demeanor, has been astounding, and I think it's the most noble profession on earth, and I think every nurse I've ever met is an angel, a spiritual being. So thank you for that career. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Rick, and that's incredibly kind. And I would say the same about teachers. I know you taught in the Gloucester school system for a long, long time, and I really, the same, because I couldn't teach, and I know that you know, it takes a very special personality to be a teacher, too, especially in this day and age, and especially with COVID.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the thing is, too, is you know, you read about police, for example, and post-traumatic stress and so on. And to me, it's the same thing with just about anybody. But to have that demeanor, to be able to go home and sleep at night, man, that's just so important, and get up and go back to work the next day. That's really something. All right, enough of that stuff. Let's talk a little bit now, if we could, please, Jen, about your a retrospective here, and by that I'm just asking, what is it that makes you smile about your term or terms in office as a city councilor in Gloucester? If you look back on the time you started, from where you were, what you didn't know going down the line, and where you have been now, what makes you smile and say, this is good?
Man, that's a great question. I have to say, working with the people who work for the city is an absolute privilege. There is a very low turnover in City Hall, in general. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, Pond Road, the DPW, Gloucester Police, et cetera, fire department. People really love Gloucester. They love to work here. Working in the municipal government is it truly a labor of love, because you have to make do with not very much. You have to work carefully. You have to work smarter and not harder, and you have to show up and be professional every day. And, I mean, people do it. They do it, and it's an absolute privilege to be on the island with these people. And I feel like a very small cog in that big wheel. That's the biggest thing that makes me smile. I have to say, one of my big achievements was to help get affordable housing ordinances passed. Mm-hmm. So we had our inclusionary zoning ordinance passed to make it easier to develop affordable units, to kind of streamline our zoning ordinance. And we also passed our accessory dwelling unit ordinance. And that, again, was with the help of the MAPC and with a consulting group and a huge group of people on a committee, a working group made up of community stakeholders and city employees, and we got it done. With you know, the planning board reviewed the ordinance in detail. City council passed it and passed both of them, and I'm really hoping that that will help people live here permanently and to help their family members live here too. I will say also I want to make it known that our city is accessible. Our government is participatory. You can go on our city website. You can look at the agendas, the minutes. Now we have the privilege of being able to watch the Zoom meetings that have happened for the past year and a half. It's been, you know, kind of crazy to go through this pandemic on Zoom, but it's allowed more community participation and an audience than ever. And so for that, I am grateful, and I can truly say that I think this whole experience has changed all of us, hopefully for the better. I certainly have learned a lot, and we've all gone through a bit of a reckoning. We've gone through the eye of the needle, but if it means that more people are aware of what their government truly does and, you know, how they can participate or how they can change things, or how they can, you know, support their fellow citizens, then so much the better.
Well, finally, you're still a very young person, and although you're not running for re-election this time around, do you have plans to keep your eye in politics, keep your hands in politics?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I'm supporting local candidates now, and I'm really excited about this election, this very unconventional election that we don't have a playbook for, because, again, COVID, Delta variant, but I also want to volunteer. So, you know, there are spots open on boards, commissions, and committees. I'm going to apply for a couple. We'll see what happens. But just to kind of keep my, you know, my head in the game a little bit and to help. Because really, honestly, this city is run by not only the people who work for it, but volunteers. We have over 30 boards, commissions, and committees that are active, that are composed of people who do nothing but volunteer and give of their time and their talent just for the good of the community, and I want to be a part of that too.
A great positive perspective from Gloucester City Council, City Councilwoman at Large Jen Holmgren. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.